With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. That's a song Carolina plays at basketball games. Did you know that? Matt Harkins, our producer, shaking his head. He was well aware of that. I think that was the Pitt fan in him maybe rubbing it in a little bit. Just a little bit.
No, I feel like you just need to pick me up tonight.
I needed to pick me up. You're right. I did need to pick me up. That's for damn sure. You know, the thing about that one is, you know, I saw a Carolina game. Somebody mentioned this the last time I was on air about Dante Calabria. I saw a Carolina game at the Dean Dome where Dante Calabria was a senior for North Carolina. And they played against Georgia Tech, and the game went into overtime. It was a fantastic game. And Georgia Tech had Stephon Marbury and John Berry, two future NBA players. And Carolina had some guys who were pretty good as freshmen, Jerry Stackhouse, Antoine Jamison, Vince Carter. We're watching in the studio here college basketball. Was it Tennessee Vandy? Was that the game?
Tennessee Vandy, yeah.
Tennessee Vandy, the coach of Vandy is Jerry Stackhouse. The Atlanta Hawks, Vince Carter's still playing. I think he's 42 years old. So you figure he's four years, maybe 4.5 years younger than me. Most guys are long since retired. Vince Carter's still doing it. So that was pretty cool. And Antoine Jamison was the best player of the group at the time. The other guys were still a little bit raw. I mean, Vince Carter and Jerry Stackhouse were known for their dunks, but Antoine Jamison was the guy who was like the All-American. But that was a heck of a game to watch at the Dean Dome, and that was one of the things I remembered about it, was that they would have guys come out and dance to the Blues Brothers. And so that's why it gave me a little bit of a smile on that one. Couple things. We only have a couple segments left here. One, looking at Joe Rutter's story in the Trib for tomorrow, or tomorrow's Trib. It's online now at triblive.com. About Donnie Schell, that he's the 10th Steeler from the Super Steelers of the 70s to be inducted, and he'll become the 10th to be inducted. The 5th on defense, which matches the 5 on offense, and the 5th from the 1974 draft class, or should I say 1974 rookie class, given that Donnie Schell was undrafted. But the 1974 rookie class has produced now 5 Hall of Fame players, which is a pretty amazing thing when you think about that. And so when you think about that, you know, that Donnie Schell is getting into the Super Bowl, for one, something I never really thought would happen, despite his 51 interceptions. To put that into perspective, what Donnie Schell did on defense for the Steelers, Troy Polamalu, who we all believe, I think, is a first ballot Hall of Famer as a strong safety, he finished his career with 32 interceptions, which is half as many as Ed Reed had. And Ed Reed was a first ballot and considered one of the greatest safeties of all time. Donnie Schell had 19 more interceptions than Troy Polamalu. That's pretty amazing. Jack Lambert started all 14 games of his rookie season. John Stallworth started 3. Lynn Swann, 2. Mike Webster, 1 in 1974. So Schell going into the Hall of Fame. 12 starts in 1977. That's when the Steelers traded a former Pro Bowl safety, Glenn Edwards, to San Diego so they could keep Donnie Schell and Mike Wagner as a tandem in the secondary. That's when you know somebody's really, really good, is when they're willing to trade a Pro Bowl player to make room for you. Had a chance, and we're going to get into this in the next segment, had a chance to speak with Bill Cowher, who's was elected to the Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, as a member of the Centennial Class. Had a nice long conversation with him on Wednesday. And we talked about a lot of topics. And the one interesting one that really kind of captured my fancy was when I asked him about, you know, what are some things nobody really talks to you about, when, you know, the same questions were coming up over and over, and he was doing kind of a media tour, especially local media. And he said, John Madden made a statement that he's convinced that when the lights go out, Those busts in that one room in Canton all talk to each other. If that's the case, you know who I'd want to talk to? Chuck Knoll. This is Bill Cowher. I'm reading his quote. He goes, I don't think I ever really had the opportunity to sit down and talk with him to reflect on him and what he did. He goes, I'd love to sit down in that room with him when the lights go out, just talk about football. Talk about football in Pittsburgh. And talk about some of the great players that have gone through there and the traditions and the standards, the milestones that have been reached by so many people. So that was pretty wild. The other thing was that, you know, Bill Cowher talked about how, you know, a lot of the one knock on him was that he got to six AFC championship games, but only made the Super Bowl twice. They lost four times. And I think they were all at home, whether it was a Three River Stadium or Heinz Field. And he said, you know, that's going to be the thing that he's, you know, the question is, did the Steelers overachieve or underachieve under him? But he said he was proud of what the Steelers were able to do because I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler. I'll always be that. I'll always pull for that team. But he said he'd argued that in terms of what the Steelers accomplished, he said we probably got as far as we could with what we had. A play here, a play there, we probably could have gone further, but we didn't, and I'm okay with that. I think about the excitement of the playoffs that we brought to the city, the level of expectations and the standards that we set. They're still there today. I'm very proud of the efforts of all the players we had and all the coaches we had. It's a special journey. And so that's the thing is that, you know, Bill Cowher talked about how winning the Super Bowl was the validation, not making it to the Hall of Fame. He said Hall of Fame is the reward. Winning the Super Bowl championship was the validation for him. And so that's been the thing with that. He, you know, called it more of a reward than a validation when you talk about being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'll tell you a little bit more about the other conversation, and this is a really interesting one that I had with Bill Cowher when we come back. Kevin Gorman, 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Kevin Gorman here. Matt Harkins is livening the night up here with from the producer's booth. Want to let you know you can check out my columns at triblive.com and the print editions of the Tribune Review and Valley News Dispatch, which both print 7 days a week. You can check them out at your local convenience and grocery stores in Allegheny County. Column today is on the Pitt basketball win over North Carolina, the series sweep this season for Jeff Capel and his Panthers. Also have columns from this week about my conversations with Bill Cowher. My conversation with Bill Cowher led to a couple columns, is how I should probably say it. So you can check me out at triblive.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at @KGorman_trib. That's at @KGORMAN_TRIB. You can follow us on Twitter here at The Fan at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, with locations in North Huntington and North Hills. And you can text us on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line at 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder Associates reminds you to text responsibly, so please don't text while driving, but if you do want to call or text, that number is 412-928-9370. We're going to go to the phone lines. KC is on the cell. Hey, KC, thanks for calling The Fan. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing well. Kevin, yourself?
Doing great, thanks.
Hey, I wanted to talk about Donnie Schell. Well-deserved that he's been inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I heard you make the comparison to Troy Polamalu and
in terms of interceptions,
Reed as well from a interception standpoint. But you left out a very important point that you should have pointed out. So I thought I'd call in and
please,
share it.
Please do.
Donnie Schell had 51 interceptions in the air, where they did not throw the ball the way they did when Ed Reed.
Yeah.
And Troy Polamalu played.
That's a good point, Casey. I mean, that's, you know, and that's one of the things that I think people are making the case for Don Coryell, who I don't believe won a Super Bowl, but certainly his San Diego Chargers changed the way the game was being played. It was very much a run-oriented game where you saw guys like Terry Bradshaw throw the ball deep to receivers like Stallworth and Swan, but it was very much a ground-oriented game. So to get 51 picks in that era, I would say, is every bit as, or maybe even more impressive than Ed Reed having 64 in a very pass-oriented era.
Exactly. So I wanted to call in to point that out. And Donnie Schell, he had a complete game. You know, he had the coverage that was needed. He would come up and he would, you know, lay the wood from a tackling standpoint. And I can still see the tackle he had. I think it was on Monday Night Football against Earl Campbell.
He broke some ribs on that one, didn't he? I mean, that's the highlight that's been replayed a lot this past week, And with good reason. I mean, when you see what kind of a hitter he was, that's what I remembered him as. That the thing that jumps out to me about the interceptions is I don't know that you really appreciated that about Donnie Shell's career, because he was known more so as a great hitter and open field tackler than he was as a ball hawk. But when you see the stats and see that he has 51 interceptions, especially in that era, that really jumps out off the page to me. But that's what he was known for, was the big hits. And, you know, that was back in, I think Shell preceded these guys, but I think he also kind of helped beget the hard-hitting safeties, where you saw, you know, a ball-hawking but big-hitting safety in Ronnie Lott, and then Kenny Easley and David Fulcher, and that became right. The style of play. And that's where I think sometimes when you take into consideration someone's Hall of Fame candidacy, and I say this from experience of having written about Dermonte Dawsons, is that sometimes a guy who helps change a position or make the position more versatile or that teams want to go after more guys like that, I think Donnie Shell probably deserves as much credit for that as anything, as being a guy who was the ability to be a ball hawker, but also the guy who laid some big hits. And that's what the guys that followed him, that became kind of the kind of safeties that NFL was looking for.
And we all know that was an amazing team. So I'm so happy for Donnie Shell. And like I said, it was well-deserved. So
let me ask you this, Casey. Obviously, you lived through that era, so you remember that team. If you had to say there's one more Steeler that deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, when they've already had 10 plus the coach plus the owner, both owners really, when you talk about the chief being one as the owner and then Dan Rooney, who eventually succeeded him, they're all in the Hall of Fame. So you're looking at, right there off the top of my head, that's, what, 13 people associated with the Super Steelers of the 70s. Who else belongs? Who else has a realistic candidacy? Because there's one name that comes to mind for me. And
that's real easy. That's real easy. Elsie Greenwood.
See, I think it's more complicated than that. I think Elsie Greenwood certainly is deserving of some consideration. And I think it's a shame that he didn't get in. I think he passed away, right?
He did.
Yeah, I think it would have been. I think it would have been more appreciated had he made it. I'm sure it'd be every bit as appreciated still posthumously, but it would have been more appreciated on his end if it would have happened while he was alive. There's another guy that I was going to mention, Casey, is the late scout Bill Nunn, who was the guy who helped discover a lot of these players.
Good point.
That to me is a real oversight on the NFL's part. I thought it was an oversight and the Steelers' first Hall of Fame class that they had, that he wasn't part of it, given that he was the guy that really changed that. So there's one to me that, as a contributor,
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I believe Bill Nunn, and he was a real gentleman. I mean, I got a chance to interview him a couple times, and what a class act he was. And I'm sure a lot of people.
And that was hard work, going out and scouting those players at schools that were overlooked, and you know, those players really turned into some solid football players, Hall of Famers. So, real good point.
Yeah, I mean, that's he was a guy who, he was a scout at heart, even though he had worked in the newspaper field for the Pittsburgh Courier, and he was the guy that was kind of appointed to go out and select the All-American teams. And when the Steelers hired him as a scout, it was really a stroke of genius, given that Donnie Shell and others like John Stallworth and many others were guys that he kind of unearthed, that the other team, a lot of other teams were overlooking because they played at historically black colleges. And so that's one to me. And he's a Hall of Famer for guys of my generation, just because he's the father of Radio Raheem from Do the Right Thing. So, I mean, you know, when you look at it from that side, I mean, Bill Nunn was a great man in many ways. But that's one I'd like to see get in. So, Casey, thanks for the call. Want to mention my column in the Trib, it was in Thursday's editions, but you can check it out online at triblive.com, was that Bill Cowher kind of gave his endorsement for Mike Tomlin. There's a lot of people that say, you know, Mike Tomlin won with Bill Cowher's players. I actually had a chance to ask Bill Cowher specifically that, you know, do you think that takes something away from him, that people say that he won with your players, or do you take some satisfaction in knowing that Mike Tomlin won with guys that you were instrumental in drafting and developing? And Cowher told me, so you know what, I don't take it as anything. People are going to compare everything you do. Listen, I'm going to get critics who are going to tell me I shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. It just goes with the profession. It really does. People are going to say whatever they want to say to validate however they feel. And it's okay. I get it. Your resume says what it is. That speaks for itself. You don't have to do that. He goes, I'm not offended by that. I don't think Mike should be offended by it. I don't feel any better about anything. I was there for 15 years. I'm proud of what we were able to do, and I'm excited for Mike and the championship he's got. So that, to me, we've heard this topic touched on a lot. It could be a topic for another show, another day. But I thought that was kind of a definitive statement coming from the man himself saying, don't take any credit away from Mike Tomlin. His resume speaks for itself. And his resume includes a Super Bowl championship and another Super Bowl trip even without, a couple years later. Whether Mike Tomlin can get the Steelers back, I think will really kind of probably be the defining thing in his career as Steelers head coach.